Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is March 8th, 2018, and I am Chief Langley. And tonight, our lecture is going to deal with plantation research. And the thing about plantation research is that many white folks have hidden and suppressed plantation information. A lot of them who were slave owners try to distance themselves. As a result of that, information is swept under the rug, hidden in the closet. Which brings about many reasons for you and I to have brick walls. As an historian, that deals with information from a forensics perspective, it is my duty to tell you the facts and the truth. Many a times, the so-called African American, and why I always say African American, it is a misnomer. And what do I mean by that? It's better to deal history with Negro. Because now you know exactly where your ancestor is from a ethnic perspective. See, it's modern day historians and writers who try to change history. You don't get that with the House of Ancestry. It is based upon fact. It is based upon truth. And I always say, we don't make the news, we just report it. And so tonight, we're going to dig deep into the core plantation research, information that has happened, and information that has been suppressed that you need to know. It's pertinent. You will never find me bowing down to the system when it comes to history. Because I'm going to tell you, those same white folks that was down in the hull of the Mayflower and many other ships that came here as slaves ended up as slave owners. Oh, they were not slaves, Chief Langley. They were convicts. You're right. Convicts. Some murderers. Some debt. You will find them chained in the hulls, and they became slave owners and had no disregard for life, freedom, justice, none whatsoever. And you wonder why America is so criminal today. Well, we're going to deal with these plantation owners for a while. And I'm going to take you on a journey. In the plantation system, there are many, many hidden secrets. And as a result of these secrets, your ancestry is cloudy. I'm going to give you a little history of a plantation in South Carolina called Red Cliff. Now, the owner of this plantation later became governor of South Carolina. But what is significant? See, I got to give you the patterns of these slave owners. This particular slave owner had children from three different generations. He had children from the mother, had children from the daughter, and had children from the granddaughter. Oh, as I say, oh, nasty white man. Three generations of Negroes he had children from. So what do you think that has done to that family at that time? As a result of many dysfunctions, diseases, mental impurities that exist today. Three generations. He impregnated the mother, daughter, and the granddaughter. And as you go and read into his diaries at this plantation, because many of these things, they weren't even printed in the books. He even slept with some of the little black boys, the Negro boys. And they want to talk about justice today. And nothing they can say to me. I ain't trying to feel it. I ain't trying to hear it. That's some of their dirty little secrets and little white lies. See, these are the things you have to understand in regards to your ancestry. Because many of you, your ancestors, who were shipped in or enslaved when they were already here, were sent to some of these plantations. And these things happened to them. So you got to understand these things. And see, white folks, the majority of them, don't like when I speak like this. But I do not care. For 400 years, you called my people problems. And you can't listen to me for 1 hour talk about your history? The hell with you. So tonight, we're going to dig into the. That is just one. And you wonder why it's so hard to unravel. But I had one old modern-day Negro said to me, oh, they don't do that. They wouldn't do that. Kiss my ass. If they're going to enslave a man, you're going to tell me? They're going to hang you? You're going to tell me? But then they're going to turn around and one man not going to sleep with three generations? Oh, they won't do that. Negro, get the hell up out of my face. You do not need to teach history because you don't know it. Or you so brainwashed. You accept the fact that a man could hang another man. You accept the fact that he could enslave. You would accept the fact of a rape. But oh no, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't sleep with the mother, the daughter, and the granddaughter. Really? Hundreds of that happened. And these are things that y'all need to know. In my 15th, I'm going into my 16th year of studying history from a forensic perspective. And I gotta tell y'all, the things that I have come across, I had to ask for give me some peace, please. Because these are the things you will discover, and you wonder why your ancestry is so difficult going back in time. I just reveal one little secret to you. See, you got to wonder what their little white lies are. It's okay to tell it if it's a little white lie. Okay? And out of that three generations came about some 15, 16 different children. So the children of the grandmother is brothers and sisters of the granddaughter. What in hell? And they want to talk about morality today, and you wonder why some of the black men and some of the black women in this country act the way they do. I'm going to tell y'all, some things are filtered down through generations, even psychologically. Well, Chief Langley, how is that? I don't have to be a psychiatrist to know this. Just live long enough and look at the conditions of things. And you will see where the root of some of our problems come from. I'll tell you like it is. That's just one who became governor. And look how he acted. People are really the savages. They're the savage. I said it. Because your ancestor was more, and many of you are not more. These are the things. See, I am here tonight to just give y'all a little consciousness that will free you a little more. Because you got to understand these things. Too many people are missing the boat or skipping the beat. Trying to find out if your ancestors are Indian. I'm trying to find out your ancestor Asian, but you missing the boat knowing the conditions of slavery. The circumstances that your ancestors endured. I tell you what, you study the circumstances and what they endured. I guarantee you will find out who and what they were. Missing the boat. These things are important. Next step. Many of your ancestors who became free purchased land from the plantation owner. But let me tell you something. That was not a legal purchase, because when the plantation got sold or taken away, they didn't have any land. See, you got to understand this. So you hear talk of your grandfather or great-grandfather, a mother that had acres and acres of land. Some had 25, 30 acres. Wow, that's a lot of land compared to a plantation that was 40 to 50,000 acres. These are the things you must know. So now you understand what happened to the land. You ain't gonna find no deed to it. But you can go and read the family papers of that plantation owner. And they talk about their lots. Who purchased what? These are things you need to know. See, I'm not your ordinary genealogist or historian. I'm the warrior. I'm the general. I'm the one to speak for the ancestors who are not here today. And since many of you don't know how or don't have the courage enough to find these things, I tell you, because you need to know. These things are very important. No one's trying to sugarcoat anything when it comes to history. Because you must know. So these things are revealed. And these things are important. So as you go on that genealogical journey, you got to understand these things. And what happened, and why things are the way they are. Because many of you can't get beyond the plantation. There's a reason for that. Because of these roadblocks. Many of your ancestor grandmothers were wrenches. Laying in the stalls. So in these stalls, these women were there for 5, 10, sometimes 20 years, giving birth to children. These are the things you need to know. These things are pertinent. These things are very important. So I'm telling you these things. Because I want you to know. So out of that, 5, 10, 15 years of being a wrench, a child birthing, from having to be forced to lay with many different ethnic men. Some of the children may be half Asian. Some of the children may be half European. Some of the children may be half Native American. Some of the children might be a North African tribe with an East African tribe. So after 3-4 generations, all of these things exist within you. I'm trying to tell you something. And many of you trying to unravel why you look a certain way. Why you don't look like somebody else. Because of all of these different necessities that have been embedded into you indirectly. I have read the cases where white men have forced their wives to go sleep with black, Asian, African men to produce slave children to be sold. These things are significant, and these things are very important. So if that man is going to take his own wife and make her a wrench, things you must think about. And you wondering today why a lot of white folks are swinging and they want black bucks. And you think you're just going to get some free nookie. Do you know where it springs from? You know what's the root of that? How it started? But you engage willingly today and don't know what you partaking in because you don't know the history behind it. You think you're going to get some free BB or some free nookie. That's white. Then again, you got black folks doing it too, following the trend. You better understand the root of these things. Slave breeding. You got to understand these things. You got to know these things. These are the white lies and the dirty little secrets. And 300 years later, you swinging and think it's cool. But you don't know the root of why she's calling you a buck. Why he's calling her a wrench. And doing these sexual foreplays and sexual enactments, they portray what their ancestors did. And you are in a moment of pleasure and don't even know the ritual is going on or the game is being played. Things are very, very important to know. See, when you study history from a genealogical perspective, you learn things you normally wouldn't find. See? See, you have genealogy and you have genealogical. They're not the same. One is the history of a person, particular ancestry. The other is what that ancestry is, what they did in life. These things are different. You got to know these things. So tonight, I am hammering away over and over again so you understand why you have these roadblocks in plantation research. These are the things they don't talk about. See, if you study deep enough, you come across, I'm not being vulgar when you say this. Some of the ancestors, they named Pussy. Why do they call her that? Research. See, many of you don't look at things like that. And you find that may have been the name of one of your ancestors. They call him Big Dick. Why? Not being vulgar. These are things you need to look at. I was helping a client one time, and the client became a very good friend of mine. He's passed now, Harry Hillary. Looking for one of his ancestors, and we stumbled across a woman named Pussy. Why? Because she was a wretch. Then she was sold to somebody else, and they named her Mary. These are things that your ancestors endured. So when you go on this journey to find these things, you got to put your heart in it. Because only you and I can speak for them today. Consciousness lives within you, but you are the voice. You are the physical eyes now. You are the physical ears. You are walking physically. You. So when you take this journey, you take this journey seriously. Because it's your duty. You got to make it right for your people. They can no longer speak in the flesh. It's important. Those hidden secrets, little light of white lies, you will be surprised how much information is hidden in a little white lie. How much genealogical information is hidden in a dirty little secret, because they don't want to expose. They're not even going to tell you the thousands of their ancestors up until 1938, until 1838 or 1839 were enslaved in the Southeast, especially South Carolina and Georgia. They don't tell you that. But go and dig into the archives. Go and dig into those plantation records, and you'll find white people enslaved on those plantations. But they don't describe them as color. They just say slave. See? There's a reason South Carolina has a law, a colonial law, that says the mulatto in this state is defined as an English woman and a Negro man. So if your ancestors coming from South Carolina, and you white, I'm sorry if you listening, you don't like it. You have a Negro grandpappy down the line. That's South Carolina. But see, the way they write history, they give you the impression that it's more common for blacks to have white grandfathers. But they don't tell you about Miss Daisy and Uncle Ben. For hundreds of years, if it wasn't plentiful, they would not have created a law for it. Why are they creating the laws? To govern what's going on. How could it have been plentiful? They were shacked up in slavery together. These are things y'all must understand that is factual. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I have to let you know these things, because this is the type of history that has been suppressed. And you wonder why you have genealogical roadblocks. Because of these things. I'm telling you what is factual. I don't make the news. I just report it. But somebody has to come along with the courage and the ambition, and to be able to analyze and decipher and give this to you. See? The revolution started with the Yuchi and the Langley when I was conceived. They knew one day somebody will be along that's going to have the courage, the willpower to be fearless, to speak and bring about an understanding of what happened to a people. See, the youth have been brown and dark and what they want to say black for a long time. Hundreds of years, not 100, not 200, not 300, not 400, not 500. From the beginning. See, when you know your history, you can speak freely. See, I'm not concerned about what goes on in Oklahoma and elsewhere. My concern is the Savannah River. That's where I know. That's where my people have been always from. So I don't venture outside my lane. And I advise all of you, when you begin to study and research what you're looking for, stay in your lane of finding your people and what happened to you before you decide to go stick your nose somewhere else and you haven't found out what's going on with you. These are things you must do. I'm telling you. And I'm telling you tonight, it's very important that you do these things. And you know these things. And when you find these things, and these things are revealed to you, better understanding you will have, better researcher you will be. Many folks can't handle certain things, but what you have to understand, as I have to understand, your ancestors are gone. That milk has dried up. It is what it is. And when you unlock these hidden mysteries, a wealth of information always appear. And so tonight, that's why I am digging into the plantation. And to give you an understanding of what was going on. Many are not going to tell you, but here in the House of Ancestry, we tell you, we explain it to you, so you will know. And that's key. So when you visit these plantations, always take the time to know, I want to read the family papers. I want to see a listing of inventory, because what you got to understand, your ancestors as well as mine was listed as inventory, just like a hammer and a nail, a saw, a buggy, a mule, a cow. You class along with the livestock. Livestock. When they first came out with livestock, it had nothing to do with animals. It had to do with people. That's why there's a connection. When they talk about cows, they say cattle. When they talk about slaves, they say chattel. There's a connection in there. Your property, your inventory. So going to a plantation and say, I want to see the list of people, you might not find your people. You need to look at inventory. Now when you look at the list of the inventory, you find all these people. Wow, Chief, I didn't realize that. Because that's the way it is. They're cunning, so you have to be cunning. But they don't tell you that always. So you go there and you never find. When I was looking for my grandpa, I know he was on this plantation for hundreds of years. He lived to be 110. We knew he was here. We can't find him because you are not looking in the inventory. See? check the inventory. You will find him or her. See? Now you got to understand, most of the people getting hung and shot is during the Jim Crow years. You know how expensive it was, the problem they were having to kill a slave, because they had to have insurance on them. After slavery, people are known as contraband. You're not citizens. Many of the colored people in this country, many of the blacks in this country, did not get citizenship until the Native Americans got it or the Indians got it in 1924. For the simple reason, many of them were mixed race. Well, Chief, I don't understand that. Tell you what, research from 1910 up until 1924 with the census of what was going on, and in 1930 you'll get your answer. These are things you need to know. See, many of these black historians and many of these black modern-day genealogists, they are too bougie. They don't want to rock the boat to tell you anything. And they know it's true because they are tied to those organizations and have been bought. I'm tied two places, the Eugene Tribe and the House of Ancestors, both owned by my family. I say whatever the hell I want. These things you must know and endure. Whole lot of secrets out there. Research the inventory. When you're done there and can't find what you want, go look in the farming records. See, what many of you don't understand is that dealing with plantations, many plantations were looked upon like townships. They were their own independent municipalities. So the plantation owner is more like a warden, especially in the early 16, 1700s. Why? Because the plantations, all of them in the United States or in the West Indies, were all penal. So they had wardens. So when you understand these things, it's very important. Why did they have wardens? Because it's a penal country. Everybody's in prison. You have to understand history. The more you understand history, the more you understand about your ancestry here in America, from a forensic and genealogical perspective. Any other way, it's not going to happen. The so-called African-American people, you have to take a different approach to history. Because there's too much little white lies, dirty little secrets, thrown in the rug, hidden in the closet, and information that is suppressed. Because now modern-day white folks don't want to write or talk about it because it makes them shameful. Got to understand this. But beneath that shame could be a wealth of information for you and I. You got to understand it. Things are important. So tonight, This is why I am hammering away over and over and over again. Because you need to know. See, the thing about being a good researcher, you have to be aggressive and you have to have the initiative to start. See, many folks can't start something. The engine has to be already running for them to get on board. But somebody has to come along and light the fire. See, that's all I've done. Light the fire. And continue to fuel it so it will burn and burn until you have a better understanding of this fire. My grandfather raised me from 3 days old. Daddy used to tell me all the time, baby, you don't see heat, you feel it. You don't see cold, you feel it. You see the snow. Even dry ice will burn. See, I was raised to take stumbling blocks and turn them into stepping stone. Take roadblocks, make it a hurdle. That is my view on life. And you must do the same. There's a no way. There's a way out of a no way. You don't do it by sitting still. If you end up in that valley, in that creek without the paddle, what are you going to do? Stay in the boat? Woo! It's 100 yards. I got to swim. And I got to swim through all this filth. And I'm going to stay here and be stuck. Or I'm going to swim because there's nothing but a creek. Creeks aren't that wide. Creeks aren't that long. I'm trying to tell y'all something. Because these are the things you're going to endure in your life. But when you study the history and the genealogical aspect of a people, or your people, of your ancestry, they overcame. So can you. In conditions far worse than what you and I have to endure. Those are things you have to think about. This is why you have a voice today. I have a voice today. To tell what happened. And when you learn these things of yourself, you will find fuel like no other. See? White folks did a dirty deal. If he sell his own wife or make his own wife go sleep with a slave so he can produce children to sell, half-breed children, what do he think about his own white woman? These are not isolated incidents. These things happen commonly because slaves was the gross national product of that day. More slaves you got, more land you can get your hand on. 50 acre per slave? What do you think about some of these people had 1,200, 1,300 slaves? If they got 50 acres per slave, huh? Head right? And it's importantly, when it comes to Indian, I really need y'all to reflect on something. There were two types here. The ones from India and your Native American of the Southeast. Not those people out west. Some of those tribes out west like the Lakotas and the Blackfoot and the Blackfeet, they were never colonized. They weren't enslaved. They conquered them with war later on. If you look at the times that Geronimo and White Cloud and other was battling, slavery was over in the Southeast. They're still fighting in the 1870s and 1880s and 1890s. They didn't enslave them like the Southeast. You got a different set of people. You got dark-skinned Native Americans in the Southeast. Conquered, put in slavery. To the Native American or the Indian slave trade look like the African slave trade because you enslaving dark-skinned people. So don't follow that nonsense. When you see people putting up pictures trying to see what somebody looked like, that's out west. No, your people come up out of the Southeast. Better understand these things. Better understand Africa was an entire continent and still is. And India was broken off from it. So many of you wonder why you can't find Indian in your ancestors. You better go research some of the ethnic makeup of some of these African nations. You'll find your Indian ancestry. Just not Native American that come from India or come from East Africa. Well, they say Cameroon, chief, I don't know, I guess African. Really? Is African now? What do you think a Cameroonian was 200 years ago? 300 years ago, go research and see if that's not a mixed race ethnic group in Africa. Composed genetically of people, what they call from India and Africa. Less black. Go and research this stuff. Then you understand and you know, okay, now we're dealing with an Indo-African, not an Indian Negro. Totally two different concepts. Indo-African, African and East Indian, of South Indian, Southeast. Native American, Indian Negro, African mixed with Native American. One African in the mix. Or two or three generations of Native Americans. That's your Indian Negro. Indo-African, the same thing. You got to understand these things. Study genetics. Old maps. Look at the migration of those people. See, you have to study the slave trade from an African and an Indian perspective. From India. So go and research the East India Company. See where they're bringing those people from. It's a different ball game. See, a lot of things that are posted on social media are from people who are amateurs. Don't take time to research. Trying to make things fit. When it comes to your ancestry, you don't have time to try and make something fit. No, can't do that. We ain't gonna play around with that. I need to know. You need to know. You need to know what is everything that is inside of you. Whether you lack it or not. Because it's going to help you understand yourself. And that is what is key and pertinent. You might have a European trait of a disease. Now you know where it comes from. Now you know how to treat it. And going to the doctor and get misdiagnosed. There's a black man over there. I don't know why he has some more European disease. Really? because he's dark in complexion? Have you analyzed his ancestry? Maybe that's how this gene or disease creeped up in there. And you wonder why today all the mental problems, all the psychological problems that exist in the so-called African-American community. All you got to do back and go back and check these ancestor trees and run into a roadblock called slave breeding. And you will find out why. And you have a better understanding without someone, I can't believe they didn't do that. Kiss my natural Indian Negro behind. These things happen. And you need to know. So you got to change your whole perspective when it comes to research. Sometimes it's best to don't even read no genealogy or genealogical research books. You need to have a dumb mind. And just go and gather information. After you gather this information, now go back and try to decipher it. Then pick up a book and try to read and understand, what is this telling me? So you need to take your research book now and use it as a tool to help you understand what you're trying to find. I never knew what the Tri-State Medical Society was until I stumbled across it. Then I went and researched it. Wow. What is this? They brought how many? 325,000 Indo-Africans? What is an Indo-African? Wow. A Bantu mixed with a Malabar? Cameroon and Camarose? And Boone? A lot of these places they don't even talk about in Africa no more. But they exist. The people exist. See, Europeans colonized things. Go in and change the name. Expand the map or move the map. Same people, never been anywhere in their life. They will call them something different. And if you don't understand their concepts of how they do things, you would never figure this out. Never. That's why you have to be just as cunning they were. And you will understand these things. Yeah, I'm radical. But I'm not violent. I can be violent. But when it comes to research, I am very radical. Because I'm hungry to find, and now is war. Because I need to know what happened to my people. See, all you have to do, look at some of these commercials sometimes. You hear these white folks, ooh, I thought we were Scottish, but we're German. I thought I was German, but I'm Irish. How you don't know? Because they come from slaves.
And they tell, oh, it was an indentured servant. Really?
Okay, bought and sold. All right, whatever. You come out of South Carolina? Okay. I got your number on that one, buddy. Got to understand these things. So I am here to teach you the right way. Many folks might not like my strategy and my tactic. I don't care. That's why I don't advertise the House of Ancestry. We will inform you when we're having a blog talk or we're giving a class. As far as recruiting people, I don't do it. You want to learn, the doors of the house is open. But you can't come in here with an open mind. Well, I knew what my grandmama told me. I knew what my grandmother told me about a few things. I found out they happened to be factual. Huh? Some of your ancestors took stuff to the grave. And it wasn't proper. But we're all human. I don't know why she made some of those decisions. But in my lifetime that I knew her, I loved my mama. Hang on, hold that. You'd be amazed when you dig deep into the core of some of your family history, what you may find. May make you smile, may make you cry. Some things may make you go out there and want to dig them up out of the grave and talk to them. But it's all part of your life story. These are the things you must understand. Because it's very, very important. And I want you to know. When my grandmother gave me this task, I tell people all the time, I didn't want it. I didn't want to deal with it. I'm a private person. I don't want to deal with a whole lot of people. But she gave me a platform. I say, speak. You know what happened to you, but others don't know, baby. So I got a calling. And this is it. Give you the tools and the understanding that you need to know. And that's the best that I can be. I've had more crap thrown at me, and the more crap thrown, the louder I get. The deeper I dig, the more I rise to the occasion. See, you can only bury truth so deep. See, it's going to surface. Because it's like written in stone. It rises to the occasion. Those bones will surface. The roots will surface. Where are the roots of this tree go? Wow. It's your life story. So tonight, it's been the plantation research. Go and read those family papers. I guarantee you, you will find your people. If you don't find an ancestor, you'll find an uncle, aunt. You'll find somebody. Not all slaves, let me tell you something. Not all slaves took on European names. I tell people all the time that when my ancestor was a full-blood Cherokee, a full-blood Creek, a full-blood Choctaw, not with no English name, a full-blood Native American kept his name. He didn't desire any European name, none whatsoever. So stop it. Don't come to me with your ancestor named Mary Jones was a full-blood Cherokee or Creek. No. She got a name you can't pronounce. You can talk to me. Cherokee is a confederation of different ethnic tribes. So is Creek. So is Seminole. Don't come here with that. Because there are tribes in this country existed 200, 300, 400, 500 years before the word Seminole ever came into existence. Those are runaway Indian and African and Asian slaves. Well, why ain't there any black tribes? Well, you better go look in the Seminole Confederation. I'm not just talking about the freemen. They exist. Everybody ain't out here parading, I'm an Indian. I'm Aboriginal. People got lives to live. They done suffered enough in their ancestor lines. They just want to be left alone. They're not out here wearing it as a badge of honor. For what? People calling me, texting me, inboxing me. I need my Aboriginal papers. Aboriginal paper for what? You mean your birth certificate? That's the only Aboriginal paper you're going to get. I need to change my nationality. Really? I'm going down to the Social Security office and change your birth certificate. Tell them it's an error. Well, I thought I had to pay $800. You that damn gullible? Be careful with that. Don't exist. I had to clarify this week the SF-181. Why? Because I am a government contractor. That only deals with federal employees of minority or other different ethnicity for promotions. Ain't got nothing to do with a doggone thing with changing your aboriginal identity. Be careful who has taken that form and transform it into something else. Well, if you wasn't trying to be greedy or you wasn't trying to beat the system, you wouldn't get caught up in paying $800-$900 to somebody gonna give you an aboriginal paper that they gonna file a file at the clerk of court. Let me tell you something. If you sovereign, you don't file paper with anyone. How you gonna get your nationality back paying somebody $900 and they gonna file your paperwork at the court, clerk of court? Huh? Wake up, people. There are scams running. Beware. Don't fall for that. Your booty gonna be so, and your pocket is gonna be a little lighter. Leave it alone. There is no aboriginal paperwork for you to fill out. Hell, the federal native tribes don't have it. So how are you gonna get it? Oh, we don't worry about that. We indigenous, so I got my indigenous paper. Okay, but who you filed it with? You're sovereign. You don't file paper with anyone. Period. Be careful with these things. So on that note, before I end the lecture, I'm going to open up the phone lines. 914.
I'm good, Chief.
Okay. 606-627.
Hello?
Yes.
That's me.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing, Chief?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm Mike. My name's Donald McKinney, and I'm calling Boom.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm all right, man. It's an honor for you to speak. Appreciate you so much, man, and thankful for everything that you do and the inspiration. I look forward to some chances starting from you and getting to deal with
you. Oh, you're welcome. Try to help, man.
Succeed, sir.
Okay. 404-380.
Yeah, Chief, you answered my question early on in the lecture in regard to the enumerators. Not putting anything for the classification of Europeans during the census, and that was the question I was going to ask you because I'm coming across some of the documents. I'm not saying anything for them, but I see something for people of color. I was going to ask you a question on that, but you answered it already.
Okay. All right. Let me explain something to y'all that's listening. Do not go under the notion all Negroes on the census are American Indian. How is that a fact? Whereas in colonial times, in what is known as Africa, they have an area of the country marked off as Negro land. Meaning that you got some Negroes in Africa, but not all Africans are Negroes. Not when you go to North. Not when you go to some of those East African countries, because now you got African Orientals. These are some things you need to know. Don't assume every mulatto on the census is an Indian. You're talking mulatto. Apparently, your ancestors are mixed race. I'm going to say it again. No full-blood Native American has a European name. Matter of fact, I probably can take that to the Africans. No full-blood African carry a European name. Not here in America. Maybe over in Africa. That in mind. You got a European name. You've been colonized. More likely, you're mixed with something. Well, gee, what about the Christian name? I have yet to meet a full-blood Native American that has an English name. Those are some things you really need to think about. Really. So, unless there's any more questions, we're going to end this lecture. I'll go back down the line. 336.
Hey, Chief, I got one quick question.
Go ahead.
I know last week when you was teaching, we talked about forced immigration just a little bit. I'm hearing, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, I'm also hearing this is another reason why these last two classes are important. It seems to me that there are new terms are starting to come out to write things out of slavery. Is this also what we see and is going on? Because I have seen that term, forced immigration.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
That doesn't make any sense. I'm not down.
Well, the only thing sense I get out of it is it's a softer way of trying to save what African-American people and other ethnic groups of people came through by making it sound a little softer to make it a little more acceptable. But there's nothing about slavery that was done to any race that you could look at and say that it was acceptable. There's nothing about that it was acceptable that way. I can't. There's no way. I mean, knowing what we know, how we were used in stalls and slavery, our names, and you brought out a very good point there that I really didn't think of that way when you talked about being Native American, full blood, kept their names. And I said to myself, well, that could even go to the African people. It's clear. I mean, if you start looking and start looking at the research, and if anyone's done their DNA that does have a European name, you'll find that there are mixed people. They're not full blood. That's why you have a European name. That was a very good point. I'm glad you brought that out.
You're welcome, Jerry. Do you have anything?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. 606. This is. I would like to know if King Charles, to my understanding, King Charles, I believe, either the second, bought or the London company purchased the area called Carolina. From international law or from any of your understandings, did he have any rights to that land or how did he even buy that land or did he have any rights to even come purchase that land? Because to my understanding, they took it by force, but I just want to know, have you ever come across any type of understanding of the British royal crown or the Spanish crown and how they came to occupy this land or procure this land?
Well, from what I read, all it was stolen. But in the earlier days, the British created something called, and y'all write this down, land graves. This means the land is dead and unoccupied.
Wow.
So when people found land graves later became land deeds and land titles. In the beginning, it was just land graves. All of it is stolen, just like it is in Africa. People got to keep in mind, the same thing happened here, it happened in Africa, and it happened in Asia. The same identical thing. People should really take a look at South Africa. South Africa is patterned after America. You look up the makeup in Africa, they got Indians over there from India. They got Indians over there that was in there when they came there in the beginning. Same thing. Just a different side of the planet. So far as international law is concerned, it wasn't no international law when they created that, but you got to understand. See, this is what people really need to understand. When you start talking about international law, who created international law? The same people who came over here and took the land. So running up in an international court ain't going to do you no good. That's kind of like the uncle who pay your way through college and turn around and molest you at the same time. Be very careful. Africans didn't write this law. Native Americans didn't write this law. Who wrote it? The whole legal system is based upon British and Roman law. You will waste your time going to an international court. Unless you got time to waste.
No, I don't.
Because what you're going to find out, laws have been modified, laws have been changed. But then again, you got canon law, and people always omit canon law because they really don't know what canon law is. Canon law is church law. And in those days, in the days of the King James and King George, they had canon law, which is church law. The Catholic Church? Okay. That's a whole nother lecture. See? Most of those canon laws are still in place. Well, you say, why, Chief Langley, how is that so? How do you think all these Catholic priests that have been molesting these little boys and little girls don't go to jail? Why do they get immunity? Because of canon law that still exists. That's the best explanation I can give you.
Thank you so much, Chief. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. 404? 380? Going once?
Oh, I'm still here. No, I still have a roadblock trying to find my grandmother down in Florida, but I'm coming through it.
Well, whenever you have a roadblock, you need to find your hurdle.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And, I found a hurdle and a couple of ladders. I'm making headway. I'm chipping away at it as we speak.
Okay. All right. And on that note, this has been our lecture for tonight. I'll see you guys if nothing happens next week before I go back over to Afghanistan. So on that note, you guys have a good night. and take it easy. Bye-bye.